I think we've got a quorum. Why don't we get going? Christina, do you want to do the honors on getting this rolling here?
Sure. So on the call today, we have Mike O'Connor, Olivier Crepin-Leblanc, Jim Galvin, and Jörg Schweiger, Mark Koster, and Patrick Jones. From staff, we have Christina Nordstrom.
And also Julie Hedlund.
Oh, sorry, Julie. I didn't catch it.
No problem.
Where are you, Julie?
Arlington, Virginia.
Oh, another East. You know, this is like in Minnesota when it gets really cold, everybody shows up at church.
Well, I am lucky. I have power and no damage, so very fortunate.
Oh, cool. No, way to go. Okay, well, I sketched out a little agenda. It's very similar to last week's with one addition. I think what we should do is sort of put the staff to work on the confidential information thing and park it for now. I think we've sort of driven it to ground, but we can talk about that. I want to show you what I did as a result of the call last week. I actually went through and read all the ESSAC reports and sprinkled them in our hierarchy. And then we had a thread on the call about the meeting time that I think we should take up and have a chat about. And then I left Yorick's questions. I don't know if I'm syncing navigation there. No. So you guys can roll down and see those. Those are just left over. I think we should breeze through those. Is there anything else on people's minds that they want to talk about today? Okay. Any objections to taking Julie and Bart and Christina up on their offer to spin through our draft of the confidential information stuff and turn it into words, and then we'll put it on the shelf for now and pick it up again when we need it? Okay.
So, Mikey, this is Julie. I'll take the pen on that one. I'll do a first draft to have Bart and Patrick take a look at it, and then we'll get it off to you folks to look at, too.
Julie, why don't you and I exchange a little email afterwards, because I can very easily, really dramatically change the format of the export of that.
Ah.
So let me do one, and then you can go, ew.
Yeah, send me whatever you want, and let me take a look at it and see how I can deal with it.
Yeah, because there are a lot of choices when I export out of that mind map. And
excellent.
So you should take a look at it, but don't view it as the only way, because I could inadvertently create a lot of work for you, and it's hardly any work at all for me to do something radically different.
Okay. Thank you, Mikey. That sounds great.
Okay, so let me share the current state of affairs with mind map. Yeah, I have to rejigger my screen just a little bit to do that. Just make sure, yeah, looks like it's come up okay. Here's what I did as a result of the call last week. I took all of the background material stuff that I had put together, plus all of the ESSAC reports, plus the first couple of pages of Google results with the question, security of the DNS or something like that. And I just sprayed them into this hierarchy. And then I tried to start the process of thinning it. But I decided that it was probably a good idea to sort of hold my jets and let you folks take a look at this and see if this is going the right direction. And then if it is, I'll keep going in this direction. Maybe one more pass for the call. So let me just give you a tour. There's no way you can see the whole thing because it's now quite bushy, but I've thinned it a bit. And let me to show you sort of where it's at. So one of the topics that's kind of sparse, actually, is this one about underlying infrastructure. I think there is a fair amount of filling in that we could do there, but there wasn't much. I did pick up some stuff out of SAC 12 and SAC 9. In many cases, I just put a reminder in. So you can see SAC 12 and SAC 9 there. I couldn't remember what we were talking about with FY12, but we can cover that on the call. I want topics for people on the call to get engaged with. Then the next chunk is a pretty big one and has to do with direct attack. And somebody's typing very loudly.
That'd be me. I'm sorry.
That's no worries. I wasn't sure if I was doing something that made you crazy and you were typing into the chat, in which case, just on this call, just go ahead and interrupt me. I mean, there's a few enough of us that I think we can just interrupt Mikey when he goes off the rails. Anyway, there's a whole bunch of direct attacks, and as you can see, in some cases, there's a lot of material that I'm shielding you from. But I think that what we will find is that having too much in this, when we get to writing, it's always a lot easier to throw stuff out than it is to put stuff in. So I went ahead and made a pretty big list. And I picked up a few new ones. You know, there's this one in SAC 28 about registrar impersonation. SAC 7 had a lot to say to the topic of domain name hijacking. We had already talked a bit about the stuff in SAC 44. That's what we were really focused on the call. But, you know, the DDoS one is touched on by several SAC reports. I went ahead and combined the notion of an amplifier in RFC 3833 with some of the issues that SAC 8 raised. So anyway, that's kind of what I've been doing. And, you know, here I found SAC 25, which talked about fast flux. I happened to be, I was the chair of the Fast Flux Working Group for a little while. And so I linked us into that. So that's kind of where I'm at. And so I think where we're getting to is the point of saying, okay, people, here's a pretty big list. Now, this part that I'm coming into here is the top part was threats. This is vulnerabilities. There's clearly a lot of duplication. You know, here's the one in SAC 44. But SAC 10 had something to talk about there. You can see SAC 7 and 8, SAC 11. Goes on and on. I mean, there's a lot of material just on the SAC page that I think it was probably those of you who voted for a summary rather than a step-by-step with the group, that was a really good call. The only problem I'm worrying about and the reason I'm doing this to you is I want to see if I've gotten too far ahead of the group. But if I haven't, I think I've saved us a bunch of time by doing this, because you know, the SAC has been thinking about this hard for 10 years, and they've got a lot to say, and there's no reason to reinvent that wheel. So anyway, you can sort of see this going on and on. And if this looks vaguely okay, what I'll do is I'll publish a new version of this out on the wiki so that you can read it at your leisure. There's no way you can read all this right now. But, you know, there's a lot here, and I'm feeling pretty good about the work that we've done during this holiday season. I think we've gotten a pretty good head start so that when people get back from holiday and back from being in a storm, you know, that we can dig in and start thinning this a bit, putting it in piles. One of the things in our work plan is we need to figure out which things are in scope and which things aren't. And another thing that we need to do is go out to people and say, well, here's the list we've got so far. Have we missed anything? One of the things that is in the work plan is to go out to other experts and say, well, this is where we're at the moment. Are there other threats? Are there other vulnerabilities that you're aware of that we should incorporate into our analysis? So I just wanted to take your temperature. What do you think? I saw some thumbs up from Olivier, thumbs up from Mark and Jorg. So if this seems like the right direction, I think that there's at least one more pass to go through this to get it a little easier to understand. It's still pretty bushy, and so I'll go ahead and do that. Oh, thumbs up from Jim. Great. Okay. I think that's enough on that topic. I'll go ahead and do that, and we'll jump on it again on the call on Thursday, and appreciate the support and the help. But this is the sort of thing that's actually easier to do with one person than many. And it was a really good exercise for me, extremely frustrating to realize that there were two or three reports that have been sitting out there on the ESSAC page for at least 3 or 4 years that bear directly on working groups that I've been on that I was totally unaware of. And I'm sort of kicking myself about that. And I think one of the mitigation things that we need to think about is a better connection between JNSO working groups and ESSAC work. So that's one that I've mentally filed away. And there's Olivier saying exactly the same thing. He's way ahead of me. Okay, so that's enough on that. and Jim Galvin says, ESSAC is glad to be of service if unfortunately obscure. And I think that this is actually going to be, at least for me, this is going to be a big topic because there's a disconnect between what the ESSAC is doing and what the JNSO is doing. And that's not just unfortunate. It's actually causing harm. So we need to highlight that as an issue. I certainly will, since I'm very involved in the JNSO stuff. Mark is asking, why is that? Well, I can't remember the example right offhand. I have to go back and look. But there were a number of topics where the ESSAC was talking about, for example, registrars not following the inter-registrar transfer policy correctly. And I've been on the IRTP cavalcade of working groups. I think this is the fourth one now, maybe fifth. We've got three more to go. And there's a bunch of work in the ESSAC reports that we never even looked at. And that's stupid. And we wasted a lot of time not even being aware that there was a lot of thinking and a lot of resource there that we could have taken advantage of. So it's just a grumpy thing. And I think we missed some opportunities to insert some policy, which, because one of the things about the IRTP group, it's a very small group of people that have really been doing all this, and we're to the point where we really trust each other now. And it's out of that group, for example, that the emergency action contact came, which was lifted, by the way, from an ESSAC report, but it wasn't the report that I'm talking about. There was a whole other report that had a whole lot more information about that we didn't even, or at least I didn't know about, so I didn't drag it into the conversation. So, enough about that. But that's what I'm talking about. Let's talk about meeting time. I talked to Glenn after the topic came up on the call, and I don't exactly know how to do this gracefully, but the experience that Glenn and I have had has been that rotating call times usually succeeds at killing off attendance rather than improving it, because people get confused, and it's hard for them to insert these into their schedule. So I'm interested in your thoughts about what to do about this, but I'm not persuaded, and thought I'd ask you guys what you thought. And, you know, Christina and Julie, you know, don't be shy. I mean, this isn't, you all actually deal with a lot more calls than we do. And
yeah, this is Julie, Mikey. I've found that when I've been on calls where we have been rotating to suit certain people, then sometimes those people aren't even on, you know, don't even attend at the rotated time. So, you know, it's not a guarantee that you'll get the folks, you know, in that particular time zone. So what I've generally tried to do is pick a time that, you know, works as best as possible, realizing that it's not going to be perfect for everyone.
Yeah, this is Christina. I agree.
Now, one thing we could explore, and I'm fine with this. I'll let Olivier and Yorick go first before I weigh in. Go ahead, Olivier.
Thanks, Mikey. Olivier here. As chair of ALAC, I constantly have to grapple with this problem of the fact that it is around, and for some people, it will be conference call will always fall on the most inappropriate times for the middle of the night, etc., especially in Asia-Pacific. We have, on numerous occasions, tried to do additional doodle polls to try and find out if we have a little bit more people in the region that would be so as to make the times a bit more Asia-friendly, Asia-Pacific-friendly, and exactly as just been said, on those occasions when we have made the calls more unfriendly for some of us and more friendly for the Asia-Pacific region, some of the people who were the main complainers of not being able to make it in the middle of the night didn't make it in the middle of their day. So it was very, very annoying. And, it's really tough. And I have no answer for you on this, apart from saying maybe we can try once, and if it's a success, we can do it in every other week. But if it's not a success, then at least that will give you ammunition to say, I'm sorry, we've tried it once, and I haven't seen any participation get any better for this part of the world. So, thank you.
Berg, what's your thought?
Yeah, I think I'll agree to the last statement, especially if we do keep in mind that we were talking about being on a 14 days, twice, two times attendance schedule. So according to the fact that we knew that not everybody would be able to join each and every call, what we already said was that we have a kind of 14 days rhythm. So why don't we just for once or for two times try to switch to a different time, see how the participation really works, and then, yeah, take a decision whether it was worth trying or not.
The other question that's on my mind is there a a golden time that works for everybody. And maybe we're on it. Because this time is late at night, but not middle of the night for Asia Pacific, isn't it? Or is that only Australia? That
Yeah, that's correct. We have calls around this time in the city as well because it suits the most people.
Okay. Jim's got some good points. Jim, you want to jump in and just get those on the call? I think that's
thanks, Mikey. I just typed in the chat room. The other problem with rotating calls that I've seen is you get a rotating group of people. So, I mean, when it's working, quote unquote, so you get the same group of people on every other call, and you get very little, if any, overlap, such that you can fail to find consensus because you don't get the right set of people talking to each other.
Yeah, and that would be quite tedious, for sure.
This is Christina. Can I just say something more?
Yeah.
We have one group that always rotates the calls. It's kind of a large group in Houston or so, and they have a rule that no decisions are taken. A decision is taken after two calls so that everybody has had a chance to discuss this very subject. But it's still the problem that the people won't discuss it with each other.
Okay. I think what we'll do is we'll try that experiment and give it a couple of calls. Because I hate to just say, heck no. I don't know. What do you guys want to do? I mean,
so, this is Jim. I mean, I think that you have to try. Because you at least have to, you know, respect people enough, and they made an honest request, just to see what happens. We all know the problems that can come of it, and if it doesn't work, you know, we'll just go back to one meeting, and we're just going to have to, you know, we'll just declare that we have to work in a way that works best for us. I think if you tell people you're going to rotate them, we should also put them on notice that they have an obligation to attend during the time that's appropriate for them.
Well, I think that we should say that people should have an obligation to try to attend even when it's inappropriate to combat the problem that you're describing, which is if we have essentially two groups that are running kind of in parallel, a fair number of people can probably attend both, especially if we do the 1300, 2300 UTC idea, which was the one that was floated. Certainly, folks in the U.S. can make both of those without any trouble at all. But I worry that what we'll wind up with is DSSA A and DSSA B, and like you say, sort of these parallel tracks that don't connect. That would be tricky. That's like the person in the circus that's riding two horses at the same time, and the horses diverge, you're in trouble. So, how about the 2300 UTC time? Is that the right one to put out there as the alternate time? That's really easy for me. It's tough on you folks in Europe, especially right now because of daylight savings. I would think that makes it midnight or 1 in the morning, right? Don't all speak at once. Olivier, I mean, what time is 2300 UTC for you right now?
That's 1 in the morning, Mikey, Olivia here. It's 1 a.m. I've had worse. I've had 4 a.m.
Yeah, well,
then,
you know, we all
have. I have no choice for that sometimes. So, obviously, it's not something I'd like to do every night, but I'm okay with that.
What if we went 2,200? Just to kind of take the edge off. What does that do for the people in Asia Pacific? We need our time zone calculator, I suppose. Is 1900 Pacific Eastern, 5 p.m. Eastern, I think, because it's 10 hours later than this one. Yeah, see, that's the trouble with this, is that, well, I think what we do is I hate to set us up to fail. But it looks like, 2,200 is just going to be brutal. York, go ahead.
Did you say go ahead to me, York?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So I think it's very interesting to see that even between the just four or five people of us, it seems to be quite hard to figure out in a third time. So
we
might come up with, no, we don't see that this is really an opportunity where we should go to.
I'm fine either way. We could do the experiment and set ourselves basically up to fail and then say, look, it failed, or we could just say, we talked about it, and this is the worry that we've got. Oh, let me stop sharing my stupid screen so that you're not watching my stupid email complaining at me. I'm willing to take a bullet and just say, look, folks, sorry, but we tried really hard in the co-chair group, and we really think that we've got the golden time now, and rather than run people through all these hoops to prove that the other time is not going to be very good, we're just going to have to proceed. Patrick, go ahead.
Yeah, so you're getting close to, we're finishing a stage of the work, so for the delivery of material for Dakar, and maybe at the face-to-face meeting in Dakar, you get a sense of talking with people, and as the group enters its next phase, there might be an alternate time that can come up, but between now and Dakar, you might not want to change things too much.
Well, that's a good idea, because there, after Dakar, when we've really started to split into subgroups that are working on stuff, not necessarily super secure subgroups, but just practical drafting subgroups, then what we could do is start to see some DSSA and DSSB kinds of things being fine. Because for me, it's a piece of pie to go to either of those times. That's part of the reason I'm being so cautious about this, is that, this is 8 in the morning for me, and the other is 4 or 5 in the afternoon, so it's really the others that I worry about. Why don't we do that? We'll hold that out as the alternative. Okay, I think we've beaten that up enough. I can carry that forward into the group. The rest of our agenda is a series of questions that Jorg asked last time. And I thought they were good ones, and so I just left them in there. And I thought what I would do, Jorg, if it's okay with you, is I would just sort of spin through some answers and see what you think. I guess the first question that you asked is, how are we going to add information to the Singapore work? And I kind of wanted to show you my idea. The thought that I've got is that we would do it sort of the way I just did it, which is I think on the next call, what we ought to do is say to people, okay, are there other really good resources like those ESSAC reports that people can point us at? Mikey, the retired guy, is perfectly happy to go read a bunch of reports. It really helps me a lot to understand this stuff and stitch them in like that. The Singapore meeting was really just a getting started exercise, but I think we're starting to come out of the summer holidays now, and I think we've got a really good rough outline for people to start digging in on. But I don't think we're done. I think that I'm hoping for at least one or two more nuggets, like especially ESSAC 44 and ESSAC 40 were astounding resources, and I'm hoping for some more of those. But is that approach satisfactory, Jorg? I saw something go up in the chat, but I was on the wrong part of my trifocals, and I couldn't see it. So go ahead.
Yeah, we'll do. Sorry, Chris, if I'm not reacting quite away, that is just because I'm pressing buttons, and I'm getting informed that my current state is muting on or off, so I don't hear what you're currently saying. So that's why I'm in the state of I don't know where I'm currently am for 2 or 3 seconds. So excuse me for that. Actually, that's okay with me. I'd like to make another proposal or something to it, and that is, why don't we ask people to actively contribute more information if they think that they do have something else to add. So they could do that by sending an email to ICANNstaff, and they can somehow figure it in what we already got, or Mikey, you can do that, or I can do that, whatever. So just ask people to add some information like you did with those ESSAC reports.
I'm going to show you how well that fits with our work plan. Basically, I think where we are is we're at the third item on that list. And I think that's exactly where we should point people, York, which is we've got a first try. We are really interested in what people have to say. You know, are there other lists that people are aware of? And it's not just from within the working group, but it's also, I think, time for us to go outside the working group and talk to other experts we know and just start pulling those lists together. And as I say, it's so easy for me to stitch these into this emerging outline that I'm happy to keep doing that. There's going to come a point at which I'm going to throw this over the wall to somebody like Julie or Patrick or somebody like that. But this very first, very large thing, it's fine for me to keep doing it. And so I think we're agreed. I think that this is probably the call to start encouraging people who've been participating up till now to start thinking about other lists and getting them to the group. The next one was mitigation procedures, techniques, tools, and so forth. And I am about ready to start another outline for that, because the ESSAC, especially SAC 40 and 44, had really extensive lists, but several other SAC reports have pretty good lists of mitigations. This is where I was smashing my forehead in frustration before. And I think what I will do is go through it. It makes the outline that we're working on really big, and I think the thing that I need to do is extract the mitigation stuff and make a separate outline for that. So I'll go ahead and start that. The next one was a face-to-face meeting in Dakar for co-chairs. And we started talking about that right at the tail end of the call, and we kind of had to cut that one off. And so I'd like to sort of pause on this one and see what people have to say about it. Patrick, go ahead.
Well, actually, I have a separate request, and this is from the Affirmation Review Team on SSR. Alejandro Persanti's wondering if either the co-chairs or others on the working group would be available for breakfast Thursday morning in Dakar. So before a lot of the other sessions get started, to have this sort of an informal breakfast meeting for the DSSA and for the Affirmation Review Team, sort of get together and have a chat and compare notes.
I'm not going to be in Dakar, so I will defer.
For those who will be there.
Jorg, this is kind of, could we combine those two items? Thursday, Olivier.
Yeah, why not? Which Thursday are we talking about? The 20th or the...
I'm assuming the Thursday 20th. During the meeting, so the
27th,
yeah. Right, Patrick? 27th.
That's correct.
Let me take a look at it. Yeah, looks good.
A breakfast meeting is, you know, especially, well... I don't know, informal breakfast. I was going to say if there was a way to get some remote participation into that, I could join you, but that's probably not. Never mind. It sounds like everybody else is... Oh, Olivier has to check on his schedule. Maybe we take that under advisement as the possible time?
Yep. I just wanted to deliver that as something that they were interested in doing.
I think it would be great. Sorry, I'm not going to be able to be there. Unless somebody can figure out a way to pay my way to Dakar. There's no way I can afford that. But if I were there, I'd be pretty keen on that idea. Okay, well, let's tentatively say that that's the plan. Patrick, do you want to kind of keep carrying the ball to nudge us all along on this?
Yep, will do.
Cool. Okay. And Jorg, would that suffice as meeting the need that you were addressing with the idea of a face-to-face for the co-chairs?
Yeah, I think that's okay with me. And I doubt that we do need yet another face-to-face meeting. One will do.
Okay. Cool. Well, it's always good to kill two birds with one stone. That's nice. Okay, and then the last few questions were, how are we going to use our reports, our results, in a report, in a presentation? I think that the way this probably works is... At least the way I've done this in the past, is I have this super detailed outline sitting behind, sort of underneath things, and then we repurpose it depending on our need. So I can imagine that we do both, that we use the super detailed outline as the grist or the report writers, but we also use it as the foundation for presentations that happened kind of along the way. For example, I can imagine a pretty soon presentation that is basically just a document that can be distributed to folks with the musical question, here's our list, are there any more? And that could be a presentation-style document just to keep people thinking or get people thinking, but wouldn't have to be a full-blown report yet, whereas I think somewhere down the line we are going to have to write a report and, you know, so the super detailed thing is the foundation, I think, for both. Jorg, is that a new hand or an old one?
Yeah, it's a new one.
Okay.
Basically, when I asked the question, it appeared to me that our taxonomy was good, but it was not completely sophisticated. There were duplicates in it, redundancies, and so forth. And I was thinking about giving those sheets of paper to somebody to work through it, to bring them into a shape that is really kind of presentable, and obviously no redundancies in it and so forth, so that we can take these right away and present it to our different constituencies, saying we do not want to go into all and each and every detail, but this is what we're currently working on, and just give you an impression what the current results are. Take a look at sheet A, B, C, and so forth. So that was basically the idea.
Yeah. And I think you're right. I think that's sort of the point we're at, is that that's what I was talking about when I was going through that with you earlier, is that it's still pretty rugged, and I think that it's probably going to be easier for me to go through and compress out some of the duplicates, at least as a first pass, and then prepare once we feel like we've got at least a good starting list, then prepare a presentation that's basically in this format that's on the screen, just a list of threats with a very short description of what they are, and use that to report progress, but also ask people if they know of any that we've missed. Okay, sounds like we're okay there. What are we up to next beyond Singapore? That's on your screen. I'm thinking, and I need to just touch bases with you all, that what we're planning to do essentially get this identify threats page done by Dakar. And, you know, at least from my vantage point, I think we're doing fine. The tasty bit is the second to the last one. The one about scope and the one about whether these things fall in a secure or confidential umbrella, but I think that we are several meetings at least away from taking a pass at that. But I'm really confident that we can get through at least the first pass of this page by Dakar. And so what we would wind up in Dakar with is a pretty robust, pretty well chewed on list of threats, and then after Dakar we'd start on this page. And I just want to check with you guys and make sure that you're laboring under the same delusions that I'm laboring under. Does that work for everybody? I'm not seeing anybody throwing themselves on the track, so I think that's the plan. And as I say, I think we're doing fine. I think what we'll have to do is keep an eye on the deadlines for Dakar. Christina and Julie, if you guys could keep aware of those, and about a month before those deadlines start, reminding us that we need to start preparing presentation materials. I think this presentation comes together very fast. I think if you gave me the assignment to do it, I could probably bang it out in a day. So the reason for the month lead time is mostly if we haven't gotten through some of these work plan items, put the pressure on us to get some of those done. And again, I don't think that this is a hard and fast deadline. I think if we go to Dakar and say, well, this is our first pass, but we aren't quite at consensus on this, that's fine. I think that if you said that we had to present tomorrow, that I could actually come up with a pretty credible presentation for you to present from. And I'm absolutely sure that by Dakar we can have something that's pretty solid for people to talk from. Okay. How are we going to start the initial subgroups for analyzing and sanitizing? I think I want to park that one along with the write-up job that we've given Julie to lead. I think that we've got a pretty good solid set of thoughts about how this could be done if it's needed. But as I look at these threats more and more, I'm not sure we're going to need it. We'll see. And so I think we should put this in the cross that bridge when we come to it category. I don't think we're going to need a secure subgroup before Dakar because of the nature of the work we're doing right now. And if it turns out we do and it's a scramble and a mess, I will stick my hand up and say this is really my bad idea. But I think that we could overthink this. And that we've got pretty good thinking in place. For example, depending on the nature of the threat, we might find that Mark's idea is a good one, which is, geez Louise, OARC is already thinking about this threat. Why don't we subcontract this to them in a way? On the other hand, we may come up with one that it's not appropriate for OARC, and then we do need to form one of these. And I think we need to get closer to discovering what those things look like before we go too much further in thinking about this. York.
Just a tentative one.
There's a grenade. Go ahead. You get to say that one into the transcript.
Yeah, okay, so this is your quota transcript. Well, as Rod Wexstrom is leaving ICANN, and as he kind of set up the whole discussion whether or not the DNS is stable and secure, and indirectly set up this working group, my question would be if the council still thinks that there is a strong need for this working group to go on.
And that's in the above my pay grade category. That might be one that we want to pose first to Chris, since he's, he and Chuck might have something to say about it.
Well, so I'll offer comment. This is Jim. I mean, in fairness, it may be that Rod was the principal motivation for this work. But, strictly speaking, he speaks for ICANN, and it became an ICANN work item, an action item. I mean, if you really want to play politics here, I don't think that the work item leaves just because Rod is leaving, because it became owned by ICANN. I mean, worst case scenario, whoever the next CEO is may have a different priority and may choose to disband work. As far as I know, ICANN's never disbanded work, have we? If you want to question this, I think we do it quietly and informally, but I certainly wouldn't make an issue of it. I just think that's the wrong way to go at this.
Yeah, that's sort of my reaction, too. Plus, I, you know, at least for me, I'm finding value in what we're doing, irrespective of what triggered this. You know, my earlier rant about wishing that I'd seen some of this stuff before IRTP is the kind of thing I'm thinking about. And so I think at the most, at least at this stage, I'd be inclined to informally circle back around to Chris, to Spain, and see what he thinks about that. But as a guy that's sort of down in the trenches doing the work, I'm finding it pretty useful, and so I would hate to make a big issue out of that. At the same time, it's probably good to check back to our charters and just confirm that. Do you, Jorg, do you, since you're in the CC...
I just want to make sure that we do have the same support now as we had before.
Well, that might be a good... Do you touch bases with Chris on a regular basis, Jorg, since you and he are in the...
No, usually I don't, but I can. I mean, I can forward the question to him.
Well, yeah, why don't you do that? And see if he'd like to join us on a call sometime and just talk about that, maybe 20 minutes.
We'll do.
So this is Jim. I don't want to invite him to join our call. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm not liking this question. I mean, at first when it was put in there, I thought it was being more humorous than serious. But I just don't see this as a serious issue. You know, I mean, this is important work regardless. I appreciate that Rod may have been the motivation for it, but it's a direction of ICANN. We should wait for someone to decide they're going to change direction here. I mean, why are we looking for a reason to move this work along? I mean, to cancel this work. I'm really not in favor of him joining our call because that formalizes this. Somebody wants to call him up on the phone and ask him, that's fine. I'm not going to get in the way, but... I'm going to object here to trying to formalize this question in any way.
Anybody, Olivier's given... Olivier, I'm sorry, was that a thumbs up for what Jim was saying?
Yes, it was.
Okay. Well, I'm in the same camp. One of the things that's tricky about ICANN, as opposed to the kind of work that I used to do, which was large-scale project management, is that I don't exactly know the differences between those two worlds. If this was the business world, I would be saying what Jim just said, which is, I don't want to second guess the motive or reason for this right now, because it's not just a knee-jerk reaction, and in fact that would be a terrible reason to do this. I think that what triggered the conversation between the CCNSO, the GNSO, and the SSAC was that initial event with Rod, but those councils worked long and hard on a charter that is much more solidly grounded than just the fact that there was a blip on the radar from the CEO. And so I'm in the same camp. Olivier, go ahead.
Thank you very much, Mikey. It's Olivier here. I'd like to say actually that perhaps the whole way the charter started up with what Rod had said probably got the ESOs and ACs to ask themselves questions, and I think that until those questions are answered, the charter stands. I certainly would like to see the answers to that and get a clear answers on knowing
well, how stable is the whole DNS, and how can it be made stronger? And I think this work is going to take place in this working group, and they're going to greatly help in this direction. So I'm all for keeping that. Thank you.
Thanks, Olivier. York?
Yeah, first of all, I just want to make sure that I'm not trying to get rid of any work. Nevertheless, I would try to make it secure that there's still a strong support from the council for our work, and we could easily do that in an absolutely positive way, like asking the question, is it right that we still do have the strong support of the council even though Rod left or is leaving? And hopefully the answer would clearly be yes, of course, and then let's move on.
Olivier is disagreeing with that. I think I am too. I think this gets back to the concern that Jim just raised, which is that's, again, formalizing something which doesn't need to be formalized right now. So
I didn't mean it to do that by a formal conference call, but one of us can do that approaching, let's say, Chris or Chuck, whomever, just by asking this question. Nothing changes while Rod is leaving. Is that true?
If nobody
else sees it the way I do, okay. I'm just...
I don't think you're getting a lot of traction with
that. Right.
Sorry to say that, but... I think that one of the tricks to projects is that, especially in their kind of early middle age, which is where this one's at, it's getting really underway, it's easy to derail them, and that we as the leadership group especially need to be careful not to do that. It's because hesitancy from the leadership group amplifies itself immediately in the broader group. Now, I'm aware that this is a recorded call, and some of you may be listening to this, but that's what transparency is all about. And I think that it's just, this isn't the right time to question whether what we're doing is worthwhile. I think, personally, think it is extremely worthwhile. I don't think it really matters whether he's leaving or not. And besides, he's not leaving for a year, crying out loud. I'm reading the chat. Oh, my. There's a lot of chat. That's what happens when I do one of those big, long soliloquies like that.
Forget about the question then, so I'm receding.
Okay. All right. We're late. Gad, I lost track of time. It's 3 minutes after the hour. Anything crucial that we need to do? Otherwise, I'm going to chop the call off. I apologize for running over. I lost track of time. Okay. I think we're all set. I thank everybody, and I'll see you on Thursday.
Thanks very much, Mikey.
Thanks, Mikey.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Christina. I think we can wrap up the recording and the call. And,
yep.
See you in a couple, 3 days.
Okay. See ya.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Bye.